Hi everyone, I'm Ksenia.
And I'm Anna.
And you're listening to CareerZilla, a podcast where people from all over the world share their stories about career change.
If you always dreamt of having a new job, a new career, but was not quite sure where to start, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned to learn the secret hacks and tricks about career transformation from our guests.
Every second and fourth Thursday of the month, our guests will share with you their stories on how to advance career. Hi everyone! Today we are talking to Jaran Wong, who is a professional pianist, transformational mentor, and a creative entrepreneur. Jaran is a CEO and founder of Artsiety and a Mindful Biz company. She is also a concert and pianist with over 20 years of experience. Her first concert she gave at the age of 6. Jaran dedicates a lot of time and efforts to help businesses from China and Austria, two countries which she considers her home, to establish collaborations. So, Jaran, thank you for finding time to join us. We are very excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, Ksenia, for your lovely intro. And also thank you, Anna, for having me on this show and this episode.
It's our pleasure.
So, a little bit about me. My story is kind of interesting, if I'm allowed to say, because I'm kind of a mix between two really huge influences for me. So it's the China and Austria. So I was born in China, but grew up in Austria. So I have kind of two different mindsets in my body. And this is probably why I'm so focusing on helping people between the West and the East and do something good between both countries, China and Austria.
Okay, we will start from the very beginning and probably first talk about your career as a musician. I know you came to Austria to study music. So how did you adapt to this move to life in a new country and also studying in the musical school here?
That was a really brave move. Actually, it's like I was studying piano when I was 4. And I had a really, really huge interest to this instrument, which was quite new for my country at this time, so the 90s. And my parents bought one of the three, pianos unmarked and totally packed, and nobody has ever seen piano before. Then I got this invitation with age from 14 to study on conservatorio and later on music university in Vienna. And it was a huge move for me and for my parents because we actually didn't really know what that mean for me as a 14 years girl. The way how I did it was unusual as well. So, you know, it's not really difficult to study at age 14. So I was really different than my colleagues, even when they were really nice and at all. But the system was different. The language was just different. The mindset, everything was different. And there was lots of a challenge in there. And but I have learned a lot, really a lot.
And what would you advise young people who are dreaming about career in music? Because you are very successful. You're a concerting pianist with over 20 years of experience. You're composed music by yourself, also music for movies. You're also an experienced pedagogue, so you know how hard it is for young people to learn music. What do you think is the most important for young people in musical studies?
Having a living with music is really hard. So I have to say that with my whole heart. I mean, this is so beautiful and really fulfilling to play the music you love and to have these really nice experiences with something really wonderful and creative. But to having a living with this kind of job or passion is really hard because it's not the hours you have to spend for doing exercise every day, but it's more like you have to deal with the, you know, like loneliness, because you have to spend the time alone to exercise, right? And you have, you know, like the concert you have to perform. And this is not like a one-time shot. It's like every time you have to be the best you can, but still you have no idea how this is going to be at the end. and have a living as a musician, as a concert pianist or composer. So different and so challenging. This market is huge and there are many, many talented people out there and with passion and heart, but you have to somehow put yourself out there and get proved every time that you can still be on top, being visible for others.
And how exactly to sustain this challenge? Because that sounds really daunting when you every time need to prove yourself and you're always under this pressure, under this stress. How did you manage with it?
This is probably why I'm so into this transformation journey. What I always call, this is like an inner world searching. Yeah, there's many names for this kind of areas like mindfulness, meditation, or personal development. I'm personally so into this kind of stuff for helping myself to be strong enough to face this kind of challenge every day, every time, every second. So you have to stand up for your beliefs. You have to try to get up after every, you know, failures or, you know, like unpleasure experiences. You have to do it again and again and again. And you have to repair yourself, you know, like accept what you cannot change, but to never give up for the things you are, you know, willing to do.
Never give up. That's a beautiful advice. So this is what you advise people as a transformational mentor. What the transformational mentor actually does?
Oh, this is a really beautiful question. This word transformation is basically so huge and everybody is probably experiencing different way of transformation. And we actually having this transformation journey every day. What I do basically is to help you to find your vision and to help you to find your passion and help you to build a really, really strong inner world or a really strong mindset and to support you to make your passion visible. I'm a guide for your road. So I'm not your teacher. I just go in this with you. So I support you whenever you need me, but I'm not, you know, better than anyone. We are all different and unique and beautiful. So I'm just guiding you through this journey.
Do you mainly work with people from creative professions?
At the beginning, I almost always worked with musician people in the creative area. But on the road, I having the chance or luck to meet more people working in different area or field. So I have lots of entrepreneurs as clients. I have lots of CEOs in big companies as clients and also have really, really great female entrepreneurs. They have excellent ideas also as clients.
That is actually very interesting and we would love to hear more, especially about how your journey to become a transformational coach started. Did you study something special? How did you discover this passion in yourself? And as a musician, was it difficult for you to prove yourself in this area?
The start from why I'm doing this is because I want to find myself anew. I lost myself in this really special time once I changed the country. So when I was, the university has offered more freedom. So I was like really happy, but otherwise I somehow lost my identity as a Chinese, but I was not really a European or, you know, like West thinking people yet. Who am I then? So that was the start to find myself new or create myself new. Read into philosophy, neuroscientists, and meditations. Journey started 2010. So 2010, I really started, you know, to learn and to having course for myself. So I had certifications in transformation life coach, in law of attraction life coach, life coaching, in different mindfulness and energy work. So I have many, many things what I have done for myself at first, and I tried to share this with others. So that was the start, how I started with a professional way.
But you're also a creative entrepreneur by yourself. And this, I guess, also a strong part of your identity. How did you start with it? And what is the core expertise for these two companies which you are leading right now?
That is a huge thing in my life because I grew up in Austria but was born in China. So I have this huge bond between these two countries or two continents, between Asia and then Europe. I don't know, but this came just so naturally that I don't know, use this creative mindset with thinking and combined with this transformation inner mindset and came naturally to this conclusion, I want to do something good between those two countries. This is the beginning why I created different projects and companies to help or to support between Austria and China.
For creating our site and Mindful Bees, you also tried several more times and actually created three other companies that did not survive long. Maybe you can also share your experience with those companies. What did you learn? What was the life lesson from creating those companies?
Sure. I love to share this, what I always call like a downside stories. And I'm super proud of telling this because I have nothing to hide, and I think every experience is important and worth to talk about and learn from. There were projects I just started because I wanted to. So I didn't have any business plans. I didn't have any, you know, like a supportive programs from the government or any coaches. I started because I want to do something in a bigger way than just, you know, doing one-on-one. So these three projects, they was not really fell to the death. They was basically update to the today's company.
Okay.
So I had like three things what I did called spiritual moment now. It's basically like a mindful retreat, which is what I do today at a Mindful Bees company. And other two called spiritual flow work. Spiritual flow work. That was the start from today, my holistic creative training. What I offer through Art Society. So what I want to say is like, there was not really total failure. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want going through with the name and the idea because it was like too close-minded. Mm-hmm. It was great to start because I needed to start somewhere. So I start from zero, I start from there. And I started because I wanted to try. So then I found out that it was not really going so well. So I asked myself, so it is this really a failure? What is this like a plan changing? So I told myself like, you know what, if you want to learn from this, then change it to something better. Mm-hmm. So this is what I did. And today I'm kind of, you know, using these experiences and core idea and having this two other company.
Every time the idea or failure or success, it's up to you to decide.
Exactly.
I want still to come back. When you just started, you was an art.
Yes.
You never had any business, any financial education. You told that you have never written business plan at the beginning. And then you still need to deal with all these legal aspects. You need to deal with finances. You need to make profit. You need to manage other people. So this is really very challenging thing. How did you manage to adapt to it? How did you manage to learn it on a go, essentially?
So like I said, I started from zero. I started from somewhere else. And almost everybody didn't really agree with me. Everybody's like, you will die, you will see. I love this kind of things because I always like, huh, you don't know me. So let's try this. But I think because I really didn't have any huge business experiences, so I didn't know how hard that can fail. I didn't know, and I just wanted to try. So I was so satisfied with music and all these experiences I have over 20 years. I was kind of, I want to do something else I really like. Why I started is because my dad was an entrepreneur, and then he passed away. So I think many things happened and triggered me to somehow see the truth that the time is not
indefinite.
Exactly. This was a shock for me, but also a really great push for me to throw up all these fears and beliefs. And I have to study first. I have to write a paper first, or I have to be ready first. I really, you know, use this shock moment and realize that the time is really, you know, like this much. So I have to use this fully, started my journey. So just try the best and go over your fear, but please with your passion.
Coming back to this question of identity with what you started, mm-hmm. that you started your journey towards entrepreneurship with a question, who I am mm-hmm. and what are my values mm-hmm. are, what is my identity is. And I think in the modern world, identity topic is a very big question for many people, because more and more people move around the globe, more yes. and more people do some type of career transition. And our podcast is essentially about career transition. How to find yourself when you are lost?
Oh my God, what a question. That was exactly my question when I was 14 and found myself happy and lost in a new country. How you can start? I think probably this is always good that you start to spend time with yourself alone. I really can suggest this. Spend time with yourself alone and find out who you are and what is not really belongs to you. We usually, you know, using phones or other things to waste our time on purpose, mm-hmm. not to getting connected with ourselves and not to feel this struggling fear or unhappiness. Because if we are not watching the TV, then we have to facing all this information or unpleasure feelings, you know, they are wanted to feel since years, probably. Attend to courses or workshops with mindfulness, meditations, and please try to get a coach or talk to same-minded people and trying to find the true passion. So ask your questions like, why I'm here, what I'm really like to achieve, or where do I really like to live? I know they are, you know, like huge questions and it's not so easy to change. I totally understand that. But I believe that wherever you live, you have the power to change your way of living your life. So you can change your inner world. We cannot always change the things we have around us, but what we can change is how we see the things, how we react to it, or how we like to change our thoughts. If you want change, hey, please do it. So find a supporter and do it. And this is not easy. I can guarantee you it's not going to be easier, but stay where you don't want to belong to is not fun as well.
One thing we still didn't talk about today is your work on establishing and facilitating business and cultural connections between Austria and China. Mm-hmm. Tell us about a little bit more about this work.
I feel really passionate about this topic. It's not only because they are my homes, but more like I feel like this is my mission to be the bridge between these two mindsets, two beliefs, two cultures. And so many people have misunderstand what this culture. China is so huge and has so many people. This is basically, nobody's really knowing what is going on with this market when you are not born there. So what I really like to share with the world is, before you judge, please, you know, spend some time there, okay? So that's the only way you can know someone or something. Because I can clearly see, you know, both sides, the good and the bad sides, you know, like things you need to improve, like people, you know, nobody's perfect, not a country. So this is why I'm here. I want to do a really lovable bridge between those two countries or two mindsets. So I'm thinking if we can do something together and, you know, have this patience and this readiness to learn from each other, and that would be so great. This is what I'm stand for.
And how different it is for you when you try to establish connection and do networking here in Austria and back in China? Do you feel more comfortable in Austria maybe already, because you kind of lived most of your professional life here, you got education here, or it's really for you two completely equally known environments?
This is so complex. Because like you said, I've been longer in Austria than in China, but the love to China is so different. You will always love where you was born. You have a totally strong and unique bond to this place you was born. You have your childhood memory there, this food, you know, like triggers everything in you. And this is so rare that you cannot really have these similar things in somewhere else. And the place I grew up has clearly more memory in my body and mind, but it's this totally different way how I love those two places because they are so different. They think different, they act different. The value is different. What they want, what they like to achieve are different. So this is why I have this connection, and I see that really as a mission or something like I probably was born for, is to translate for those places. Beautiful and worthy. They are differences that we should respect.
So I will ask our usual question. So about the recommendations, what can you recommend for people who are starting their artistic career or maybe creative entrepreneurship career, channels, books, coaches, other than you, of course, mentors that you would suggest for them?
So personally, I like the books from Eckhart Tolle, and I like the books from Neil Donald Walsh and Louise Hay. I can give you guys a list. You know, you can share with your viewers and listeners. And please spend time with yourself. So I cannot point it out this enough. And ask yourself questions. You know, don't believe anything you just thought, and think again.
Well, I guess with this beautiful thought, we can already finish our episode. And thank you very much. It was really an insightful journey into the world of creative entrepreneurship. We learned that our identity can be key to our lifestyle, to the business which you want to start, or to whatever you want. And thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me on this episode. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. If you're interested to learn more about career transitions, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find links in the podcast description. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Stay tuned!